You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. We got the local, the state, the national man. We cover down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, it is that time of the week, folks. So every Wednesday, 4 p.m., we do this gig we call the Grand Council. I bring on two of my brethren who've been doing talk radio longer than I have. And we opine and we ping each other with questions and we see what kind of answers we get. We don't know the questions in advance. We don't always agree on the answers, but we love each other when it's done. So with that being said, let me call the roll and see if they are here. So from WVNN 92.5 FM 770 AM up in Huntsville, the program guy, plus also writing for Yellowhammer News, Dale Jackson, are you here? There you are. Stand at ease. All right. So moving forward then, I got, Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 and the executive editor for 1819 News. Is you here, Jeff Poor?
I am present.
You are indeed. And I'm here. That's obvious. So I pronounce a quorum. Boomer, hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ta-da. Ta-da. All right. Grand Council being assembled. I'm jumping over. Jeff Poor, you go first. What you got, man?
Signal poll this week out. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, commissioned it with Gray Television, and it was later stolen by AL.com while he had it behind a paywall. But
yeah.
That's
dirty, not the, dirty, dirty, dirty,
I'm
dirty.
Saying.
That's not the point. approval, disapproval, very interesting to me. According to the Signal poll, now Signal, keep in mind, did some work for Governor Ivey during the primary, but it has Governor Ivey now exceeding approval rating of one Donald Trump. So according to this poll, with higher favorables, Kay Ivey is now more popular in Alabama than Donald Trump is in Alabama. Believe it?
Wow. You know, I'll be honest with you. I saw the numbers, too, after AL.com stole them from behind his paywall.
Dirty.
And it also shows that she is more popular than Katie Britt, who has been running a statewide campaign much longer and harder than Kay Ivey did. So I look at it and think it's because they're out of the public eye. She's out of the public eye. I mean, there's nothing to write about. She's not doing anything. And so people are like, oh, no news is good news. Numbers go up. Dale, what say you?
It reminds me of a conversation I had with Kay Ivey right before I swam in the Alabama-shaped swimming pool where she asked me, how am I doing? And I said, fine. And she's like, well, what am I doing? And I said, we haven't done anything yet, and that's why you're doing fine. Yeah, go ahead. Don't sexually harass or get with any of your employees, and you'll be all right. And this was shortly after she took over, and she hasn't gotten with any of her employees. And she's remained relatively scandal-free. She's had one bust-up this entire time, and it was how she handled COVID, and it was bad. But I still think there's a lot of people in the state who are fine with lockdowns, fine with masking. Maybe it went on a little too long. She's just done nothing that's a killer. The gas tax didn't get her. And I just think that there's nothing that's killed her. And I think Democrats kind of like her. You'll get more Democrats liking her because she's not a hard right person. She's just... is fine. So, yeah, scandal-free, not really all that active. All that stuff that Phil said is true, I think. So, yeah, I'm not surprised by it. And the feelings for Donald Trump are love or hate. Look at his very favorables for Trump. It's like 40%. So I assume the very unfavorables are pretty high too, right?
Your question, Jeff, you analyze. What do you say?
The reason why Katie Britt, I think Katie Britt had a more contentious primary than Kay Ivey. So I think that had eroded her number slightly. With Governor Ivey, though, I mean, she had the blackface stuff too. No, everyone's forgotten about that. It's really remarkable that, you know, anything she does that could be perceived as negative, gas tax, that COVID, as you mentioned, Dale, it seems to fade into rearview mirror right away, and it's like, you know, no big deal. So look, but more popular Donald Trump is a pretty remarkable feat in a state like Alabama that voted for him overwhelmingly. And in 2018, every Republican candidate was running as if they were the unconnected twin of Donald Trump. So I mean, no one's going to do that with Kay Ivey. I find it pretty astounding, actually.
Interesting. All right. Next question, the Dale Jackson. What do you got?
All right. So, you know, I do find a couple of things interesting that have happened here in the state of Alabama recently. A lot of talk about purple North Alabama. Do you guys believe it? Is it a real thing? I live here. I'll give you my answer real quick. I think it's possible. Marco Rubio won Madison County in 2016. I think that maybe there is something to it, but I just don't know if I buy it completely. I think, are we just watching as people are trying to get out the vote?
Well, I mean, you do have drag queens that are back at work in the school system, and we got. I mean, I look at it and go, I grew up in Huntsville. I got all my family's in Huntsville, and I'm thinking, I don't know that it's truly purple, but I think it's a lighter shade of red. How about that? And in part because it's become a city that's more accepting of things that I would have ever thought a red-blooded, you know, Alabama town could be. Jeff, what say you?
I think there's something to it. Watch these two House seats, the Mac McCutcheon seat.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that's going, but I think it's going to be closer than it should be. And then I do think the Republicans are in danger of losing District 10, Mike Ball's old seat, Marilyn Lands, and David Cole there. That's one to watch, but whatever the margins are will tell us more about the direction that North Alabama is headed.
Where's that Tom Butler race right now? I heard it's very close too. He's a state senator, former Democrat, now Republican, fighting for his job. Dale, what are you hearing on that gig?
I hear it's close. I'll just be honest with you. I just don't buy it. I mean, the national mood is what it is. The Republicans are going to turn out more so than I think Democrats are, especially in Alabama. Straight ticket Republican voting from the top down. I think they're going to be better off than people are giving them. The Tom Butlers, the Rigsby, the Cole race, there's those three right here. I just don't see it. I personally don't, but I could be wrong. I have been before.
And I still think, too, that the big ticket items like the military community there, the FBI community coming in, I think those are still by and large made up of conservative rank and file. So, yeah. All right. Well, speaking, though, of purple, let me do this one. Here's my question. I did a whole segment on the earlier part of the show about the unionization of baristas. So apparently, unionization has taken place at the Starbucks in Scottsboro, Alabama, of all places. It's one of the only ones in the Southeast. Your thoughts, is it that hard to be a barista? But then again, isn't this also an indication that the Biden administration has made it so much more cool to be a union guy? Dale.
I think unionizing lower tier workers is something that I think the big unions have been focusing on for such a long time because they need members. I mean, that's just the reality. They need members. That's what they need. And these are people that are easily gettable on anything if you just give them a little bit of attention. I don't think it really means all that much. Starbucks is probably coming here and close these places and say, oh, well, but I think that it's not really all that shocking. Because, of course, who wouldn't, if you're at that level and, you know, if you get blown out, who cares? You go get another lower tier job and that's the end of it. I think people within higher mid-level career people and others, people who are making, you know, $25 an hour working at Amazon, they're less likely to take that risk. So I think they have to get these fast food workers, et cetera, unionized. And I think they've done a good job of speaking to their issues and telling them, hey, we'll give you more stuff if you get unionized. And we'll see how it all plays out once it starts happening.
But, you know, it's hard to make pumpkin spice lattes and pivot the seasonal menus. I mean, that's tough stuff. Jeff Rowe, what you got?
Well, I tell you guys, what is it about North Alabama and unions? TVA, the legacy there, longtime union stronghold. Bud Kramer was the reason he was stayed in power so long as a Democrat, was because of the strength of the unions in North Alabama. I mean, in the Shoals, they still celebrate Labor Day. It's a big deal. Unionized labor has been a big deal, a hallmark of North Alabama politics, probably until about the last decade or so. But I just think there's a legacy there, and that's why a place like Starbucks in Scottsboro, maybe that has something to do with it.
But do you really think, though, that like the millennials that are doing barista work at a Starbucks are really mindful of the legacy of the
I mean,
of
who
the
are
unions?
Their parents?
Well, that's true. That's a good point.
Right? Like that comes from a, you know, my daddy was in the union. His granddaddy was in the union, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, you know, I guess we'll see. And we'll also see how long it takes to get a latte now once they unionize. All right, fellas, round one. Grand Council. Boomer, take us to the break. We are right on time. We'll come right back for round two. I have no doubt it's going to be good. Y'all stay tuned. We're with Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News. Dale Jackson from the 92.5 FM 770 AM WVNN and Yellowhammer. And me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Back with our weekly segment, The Grand Council, with Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5 and Dale Jackson from WVNN 92.5 FM up in Huntsville. I think we're back to you, Jeff Rowe. You got the first question for the second round.
This time a week from now, will we have forgotten about the Alabama Libertarian Party?
I'm sorry, that requires me to have been mindful of them in the first place. Dale, you first, man.
They had about a two-week run where they mattered, and now you see that they're getting 3 or 4%. I mean, come on. They are a done entity. I don't think you have to worry too much about them.
If we had, I would say this, if we had close elections, like we're seeing out in Arizona, Blake Masters is neck and neck right now with Mark Kelly, and there's a Libertarian candidate in that party, in that race, I mean, that chose to drop out and endorse the Republican, which some see as a potential spoiler for Mark Kelly because he has 2 or 3 points. Well, 2 or 3 points matters when the race is close. In Alabama, statewide races aren't close right now. We're still very much a red state on our statewide politics. I don't think we're going to remember much about Libertarians. You know, good run, fellers, but you don't got what it takes right now. Jeff, your own question.
I thought they would do better. I don't know why. I'm stupid for thinking that, but I think it's going to be an abject failure. And we'll try this again in 20 years from now. They'll get back on the ballot, and they'll find that people in Alabama just aren't buying what they're selling.
not until we're close again. I think you're right. Next question, Dale Jackson.
Yeah, it's not just Alabama, by the way. They're not buying it anywhere. All right, my question is, Joe Biden is giving a speech tonight. Hopefully it's bathed in red, and there's like some army guys back there with bazookas getting ready to storm wherever these right-wing nutjobs are, hiding, waiting to commit their acts of violence and deny the election. What's this really about? What is this? What's really happening here? What's the real story?
I tell you, my opinion is they have determined that the only messaging they've got that resonates with their base is scary Trump. Scary Trump. And we're going to give a mega MAGA anti-Trump speech, and it's going to scare people to the polls and remind them of January 6th and the fact that we almost lost our nation as we know it. And I mean, it's just... it's ridiculous. It's all they've got because they can't talk about foreign policy. They can't talk about domestic policy. They can't talk about fiscal policy. They can't talk about border policy. So all they can do is go, scary Trump, and give another scary speech. Jeff?
At some point, the adults got to come in. Democrats cannot exist in this state of, like, victimization and Donald Trump. It just, there's no substance there. Remember, it took a... Bill Clinton to resurrect the Democratic Party from like 100 or 80 years of bad New Deal policies. I just think we're seeing we're gonna see the Democratic Party over the next 20 years reinvent itself back to something different because the trajectory that they're on right now is not sustainable.
But they have brought in Barack Obama to do neato ads.
Somebody compared it on my show. One of my texters. It's like a Gus Malzahn offense. It's a lot of trick plays and gimmicks, and you have like one star player like a Cam Newton or something with Obama, but the foundation's there. It is just not there. I mean, there's nothing there, and they're suffering for it.
Well, I tell you, the thing that used to drive me crazy with Malzahn was there were times when you didn't know who the starting quarterback was, and that's what they're doing right now with Biden. Biden's the starting quarterback, but they keep bringing in Barack to try and square things away. Wow. All right. I tell you what, my question. Did a segment yesterday, article in The Atlantic by Emily Oster, a professor from Brown University. And the whole the title of it was Pandemic Amnesty. The idea that we should just look at the past few years and go, you know what? Let's write that off, fellas. Let's pretend that didn't happen. We've all got to move forward. Pandemic amnesty. What say you? I'll start with Dale.
Not till they apologize. I mean, they have to acknowledge they're wrong, and before they're going to be before people are going to accept their apologies. Mistakes were made by everyone. I made mistakes on this as everyone else did, but not until they accept they made that mistake can we move on.
Because I know you're still making Grant wear a mask around the house. Is what?
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Bless his little heart, Jeff. What do you think? Pandemic amnesty. What are your thoughts?
I miss old mask frenzy Dale Jackson coming on my show and telling all the right wingers that they just need to wear their mask and be good little
citizens.
I miss that. I really do. But anyway, no. Even if they wanted to and we wanted to or anybody wanted to, there's a segment of this population who are never going to trust a word out of anybody's mouth from the government because the government screwed this up so badly. So they're going to have to live with this. This is an unforgivable sin in the eyes of a lot of people.
Yeah, totally agree. And I'll be honest with you. If you want to say, can we please can you forgive us while holding us accountable? I think everybody gets that. I'm all for the idea of letting go of some bitterness and but at the same time we can't forget. But when they call it for amnesty, all that is saying is pretend it didn't happen. It's like illegal immigration amnesty. All that means is forget how they got here. Let's just give them citizenship today. Well, that's what they want. They want us to literally forget that for several years, it was a pandemic of the unvaccinated. You had to watch, through a glass window as grandma died by herself in a nursing home. You couldn't go to your cousin's funeral or wedding. None of it. Churches were shut down. Businesses were lost. Cats and dogs living together. I mean, it was madness. And the idea of it being just amnesty? No, no. No, no, no. No, not while I've got a microphone. I'm saying. All right. Lightning round, because we have about a minute left, Boomer. We got about a minute. Yeah. Lightning round. Is Fetterman going to beat Oz or not, Jeff?
No, no way. He's just, I think he, in Fetterman circa 2020, we're running. Yeah, but no, this just looks like Oz is to me.
You, Dale.
To quote John Fetterman, the race, election, lose. Tomorrow we will. It is a thing. Next week, not election, win. Time he has house.
I'm pretty sure you left off the words hot dog and beach goer. I don't know why, but this
I forgot them. I was doing the characters.
And you were spot on. All right, fellas. Appreciate you as always. Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5, down on the coastal regions of our state, and the executive editor for 1819 News, Dale Jackson at 92.5 FM, 770 AM, WVNN out of Huntsville. Program director guy, morning show guy, writes for Yellowhammer, and me. That's the Grand Council. Y'all stay tuned. We got 30 minutes more. We'll be right back.